Hey there, podcast listener. Steven here from the podcast you're currently listening to. You ever heard a podcast and think, I can do that? Well, maybe you can, or maybe you can't. Or maybe I can help you get started with it. Hosting is the most expensive cost you'll have in a podcast, and that's why Anchor by Spotify is the easiest way to make a podcast. Really, they have everything you need all in one place. Anchor has tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. With Anchor's hosting, you can distribute your podcast to other listening platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and a whole lot more. And if you think you can do a better job than I, record a podcast right now. There's very low risk involved. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. And best of all, Anchor is free. Download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started today.
Of the battlecruiser Enterprise.
This is Captain James Kirk of the USS Enterprise.
This is Jean-Luc Picard, Captain of the Enterprise.
This is Captain Sisko of the USS Defiant.
My name is Catherine Janeway.
Prune juice, chilled.
I have a feeling that our memories are going to be a little tainted when we watch this, because I think it wasn't really that every episode was shit. It was that we weren't ready for it to be like one story for 20 something episodes. I think that was the main thing everybody was upset about.
Yeah.
Now we're more used to it because, I mean, the Adventures of Michael has been on a few seasons now. So, you know, and it's thoroughly entertaining. So this is exactly, though, this is what those, like, quote unquote, true Star Trek fans say they hate. And a lot of them will say they hate Enterprise.
Yeah,
because it did it too. And I'm like, if you say you hate Enterprise, you're not a real fan. You can get the fuck out of my face. Yeah. Scott Bakula brought something to the table. Okay. And T'Pol was the shit. So miss me with that bullshit.
I've seen a lot of stuff online, especially now on Twitter, where they're saying like T'Pol is totally underrated. They go, they love Enterprise and stuff like that.
I've been saying it. T'Pol, and yeah, we could joke around that she's hot, and of course she is. Very beautiful woman. But that's not what I'm talking about. She is my favorite Vulcan. Even if you take out the hotness factor. She's my favorite Vulcan. One, because you get so much screen time, because I'm sure there's been Vulcans that are dope, but you don't see them a lot. Tuvok's pretty dope, too.
Yeah.
He was a really good Vulcan, too. But she just embodies what a Vulcan's supposed to be. You know, it's like an idealism of it. And also watching her kind of soften a little bit and see her turn into more of a Spock kind of character. Not truly, though. She's very careful not to go all the way Spock.
Right.
Because Spock was half human.
Well, I think they said in the if they had gone to a season 5, they're going to reveal that she was part Romulan.
But that's not even a different species, right?
Yeah.
They've just been away from each other for so long, so they kind of developed into some. But yeah, that would be kind of cool. Be a cool little storyline. The fuck was I going to say? I don't remember. Never mind. But yeah, Enterprise in general is underrated. Let's keep it real. Because when people talk about the older Star Treks, Enterprise is brought up probably the least out of all of them. Like, everyone forgets about it. And it's like, it's a good show. It's one of my favorite Star Treks.
Yeah.
Like, it's probably TNG, then Enterprise. I just love the vibe of it. It's Enterprise is the closest you'll get to actual people you know being on a spaceship. Because these motherfuckers are flawed. They get in little arguments. They get attitudes with each other. You know, as much as you can for the time. But, you know, I think they really were like, okay, let's do this inner conflict thing. Because you remember, Roddenberry didn't want that.
Yeah. Yeah,
Deep Space Nine did that the best. So let's keep it 100.
Right. He wanted everything to be kosher and everybody to be nice. And yeah, you can't, you got to have conflict somewhere.
You have to. Because it's the humanism thing that he had and so basically socialism that he envisioned. Yes, that's fine. Human beings can do that. But to say that human beings would never argue with each other, we'd be a different species. That doesn't make any sense because we thrive on conflict. That's how we learn. That's how we, you know, change and develop and stuff. There's never any conflict. We'd do anything. Look at now. There's very little conflict, so people make up shit.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's like, I guess Roddenberry's right. We need to find a way to get rid of the conflict. Whatever. Recipe.
All right. Welcome, everybody, to The Away Team, a series that recaps each episode of Star Trek in canonical order. We discuss all the tropes, Mary Sue moments, and blatant racism within the franchise. But that doesn't mean we don't love it. We just love it enough to accept it and call out the silliness. I'm Stephen Vargas.
I'm Adam Ryan.
All right. So happy Black Friday, people. You know, if you guys...
I did my time, Steve. I don't need to work Black Friday.
If you're out there enjoying Black Friday, no, I'm working in it, and Adam's probably off.
I am.
And if you, you know, need something to listen to while you're, you know, if you're in lines, you're out there doing your shopping or you're doing the online shopping, throw us up.
You know what? I do my part for Black Friday. My family does not leave the house.
There you go.
Because I think Black Friday is a fucking joke and it's ridiculous. It's the one day a year where it's kind of looks like slave labor because I remember working it. It's like, oh. Black Friday, I was working it when they started changing that shit, when it wasn't starting at midnight anymore.
Right.
Where it's like, oh, Black Friday's going to start at 8 o'clock, so be here. It's like, well, I don't want to come in that early. It's the holiday. And they're like, well, then you're fired. Like, it was that serious. Yeah. Like, you know, and it's like, okay, cool. So the USSR is fun. You know, I was like, what the fuck?
Hey, but we live in a capitalist society, and that's what we're supposed to do, right? We're supposed to be thankful we even have a job.
Exactly. Listen, I'm telling you, democratic socialism. If democratic socialism was the dark side, I'm currently on episode 2 as Anakin. I'm sliding, bro. Like, it's getting out of hand with this.
You're gonna start looking at your wife and going, "It's because of him."
Now you're against me. She's like, Adam, I just think free trade's a good idea. Ah, start choking her. My wife would not. I don't think my wife has ever said free trade. So free don't trade. Worry.
But I just believe in free trade.
I just believe in free trade. And the power of corporations. I don't know what kind of weird shit.
Free trade is the cornerstone of this democracy.
I told somebody, I was saying cornerstone of this democracy. Thank you, Obi-Wan. I was talking to a buddy and I was talking about, I said the same joke where I was like, slide into democratic socialism so fast. And he goes, slide into what? And I said, democratic socialism. And he goes, you mean communism? And I go, I think that's one of the fundamental issues in this country. Those are two completely different things. That propaganda worked, bro. Even generations that weren't around when it was the propaganda believe it. It's so funny.
Oh, I know.
But whatever. That's not this podcast, okay? Actually, it is a Star Trek podcast. So let's keep it real.
Yeah, you know.
That's basically what they are in Star Trek. If you like Star Trek, I'm just saying. I'm not educated enough on this topic yet to start talking. I just like to
run. Doesn't matter. You're on the podcast. You can say anything.
That's right. Listen, comrades. Welcome, everybody. How's it going? Okay. But yeah, I think Black Friday is bullshit. It's first of all, especially now with online, you're wasting money. Yeah. Most of the deals out there are not that good.
No.
You can get them online. What's easier, going to stand in line for hours or just hovering over your mouse ready to click when it opens?
Camping out in front of your mailbox, you know, waiting for Amazon to arrive.
Also, too, like a lot of people haven't worked retail during Black Friday. You see the ugliness of humanity. And I'm not kidding. Like people are literally punching each other in the face to get a blender. Like, it's horrifying to watch. It's just, these people are crazy. Like, Walmart was the worst one. I worked on Walmart before they started doing the lines, when they were just all huddled at the door.
Yeah.
And then you would unlock it. I've seen people, there was a stabbing at my Walmart. It was over a toaster oven. Jeez. It was the last toaster oven. You know how much the discount was? $20. This lady shanked a motherfucker to get. I'm like, look, I appreciate the tenacity, I guess, but you know, it's silly. It's like, and honestly, it's capitalism at its best. Okay, I'm gonna keep it. No, I'll never. Ever since I think the last time I've ever been to a store in Black Friday was the last time I worked one. I won't go again. It's not worth it, and it's shit, and I don't like, everyone looks so sad, all the workers.
Yeah.
And then you feel like a fuck, you should, if you're a decent human being, if you're at a fucking Best Buy at 8:30 at night on Thanksgiving and you see everyone looking depressed, you should feel some kind of way.
Right.
Like, you should be like, why am I here?
That's important. That's the thing, you always hear people go like, oh, that sucks that you're working. It's like, you realize that you're here is why I'm working, right?
Yeah, yeah. And when I remember, so I worked at Geek Squad Best Buy. And Best Buy was the first one that they were opening early. I think for Walmart, the earliest was 10. They were at the 10 o'clock mark. And then by the time I was working at Best Buy, they opened at 7. I had to be there. I think they opened at 9, but I had to be there at 7. So I didn't even get to eat Thanksgiving, because I remember that year something happened. The dinner was late. So I had to just leave. Nothing I could do. They had donuts in the break room. And we get there and it's like, well, I'm Geek Squad. What am I supposed to do? It's like, well, you're going to run a cash register. And I'm like, I don't even know how to do that. And they're like, we'll show you. I'm like, cool. Show me on Black fucking Friday. Yeah. I'm like, whatever. So I'm running this cash register. And I heard that so many times. Damn, I feel bad that you have to work. And by like the 10th one, I got kind of in trouble with my manager, because he's like, it really sucks you have to work. And I'm like, yeah, it's crazy, because if you weren't here, I wouldn't have to.
Yeah.
It's like, because of the audacity. Like, how do you not realize you are the fucking problem? Go home.
Yeah.
You don't need this fucking Blu-ray player.
You don't need a fucking blender for $40.
Jeez. I've heard that Black Friday's thinning out, though.
Yeah.
Because of the online deals and stuff, it's mostly older people that go.
They were saying now that they go. They're saying now, because of the supply chain, they go, those deals that you always wait for probably won't show up this year. And no. I know for us, like where I'm working right now, our stuff is so spread out that any new shit that comes in is sold out like within a week. And so it's like, we're not gonna have a lot of stock if this stock stays this way. We're not going to have a whole lot for the whole – it's only a month between Thanksgiving and Christmas. We're not going to have a whole lot left.
Well, so, I told my kids, I go, look, supply chain thing doesn't look like it's going to get cleared up by Christmas, okay? So I'm not going to get into the complexities of the situation. But basically, shit's sitting on a ship and it ain't in the stores.
Right.
And they don't have enough people to move it. I said, so Christmas might be a little thin, might be no presents. However, they will eventually get here. So I'll, you know, if we have to have a second wrapping, Christmas.
You just start wrapping confirmation slips in.
IOUs. I told him if we have to have a second Christmas in January, I'm more than happy to do that. I said preferably in February, because, you know, that tax return comes, baby. That's when second Christmas happens anyway.
Yeah. Well, but that's kind of the thing that's happening now, because, like, we've been busy at work over the last week, and a lot of people that are buying shit are buying because they're go, yeah, you know, I hear like the supply chain stuff. And I go, well, to be honest, you know, I'm selling out of stuff before it even has a chance to sit on the shelf.
Yeah.
And they're like, going, so they're buying their shit early. So even like getting to Black Friday might not even be that big.
Well, the problem
is, I know, I think Target and Best Buy and all of them, I think they're going to be closed this Thanksgiving too, from what I've heard.
Oh, really?
I think so. They were closed last Thanksgiving too.
And they'll probably frame it as they want to do the right thing for the employees. Yeah. Shut the fuck up. You just don't have anything to sell. The real issue with the Black Friday thing, though, and we'll move on to something fun after this, or just this Christmas and the supply chain, is the economy. The holidays is like a reset for the economy. Like, we make so much. We stimulate the economy so much in this time, and it ain't going to do it that much this year. So a lot of economists are like, I don't know what the fuck's going to happen. You know, so hopefully it works out. I know they're trying to do some things to get things moving, but just people just don't want to do that job anymore, and I really don't blame them.
Yeah.
You know? I've heard people, too, like, I can't believe they don't want to drive trucks. And what about Christmas? It's like, bitch, how are you trying to say someone needs to feel better so you can get something? Get the fuck out of here.
You want
to
drive a truck? You go drive a truck.
They'll train you, too, and they're paying good. You know? I told my wife, but she doesn't want to, because she has a CDL or whatever, but she doesn't want to, A, drive a semi, because it's a whole different thing than driving a school bus. And then you'll never be home. Yeah. They're so fucking behind. You'll leave today. You'll be home at New Year's. You know, but whatever. We're here to talk about Star Trek. Okay, we're not here to talk about the failings of capitalism.
By the way, the guy that I texted about, like, I can't see the envelope because your stomach's in the way. He replied, "You dick." He's like, "But fair."
Got him. It's funny. So, moving along into something more fun than this drab shit. By the way, this is our 69th Star Trek episode. I just want to throw that out there.
The away team 69, baby. Yeah.
Nice. Name of this episode is Anomaly.
UPN Wednesday. Enterprise captures an alien intruder who may hold the secret to Earth's destruction.
Tell me what you know.
And how they get it will take your breath away.
The airlock's decompressing, sir. He'll die.
Not another 20 seconds, he won't.
Star Trek Enterprise.
This is episode 2 of season 3. First aired on September 17th, 2003. Enterprise is damaged by spatial anomalies and boarded by interstellar pirates who rob the ship of critical resources. This episode moves quick too.
It does. It's a really quick one.
This is I'll probably stop saying this at some point, but I'm gonna say now, this is episode 3 of 28 of the Zindi Crisis arc, better known as season 3. So to the teaser, Porthos is lying down in. And by the way, if I get another dog, I'm naming it Porthos. I don't care if it looks like Porthos or anything. I'm doing it. Porthos is lying down in Captain Jonathan Archer's ready room when suddenly he begins barking. As Archer wonders what's up, a book falls down from the shelf. Confused, Archer looks around in engineering. Oh, I'm really fucking... Let's learn how to read, Adam. Archer looks around in engineering. Trip Tucker and his staff are also confused. In sickbay, Dr. Phlox is worried as his animals are much more active than usual. In the mess hall, a strange sound is heard as everyone's plates. I thought it said Pilates at first.
Everybody's like, Pilates.
What?
Did I miss a cut there?
Yeah. Is that the TNG episode where they was exercising? What the fuck? There we go. I zoomed in because I'm, you know, what am I doing? Really? This is my life. Everyone's plates, cutlery, and cups are lifted onto the ceiling, where they stick, leaving everyone covered in their food. That was funny, by the way.
It was, but the one problem I had with that, as you could tell, was definitely CG, because of the fact that when the table behind them, their things went up, nobody reacted until their tables did that, you know? Because normally if you hear she'd be like, what the fuck? And then all of a sudden, hey, what the fuck? You know?
They should have just put the fucking things on strings.
At least one or two, so you kind of have an idea of like, whoa, what are you reacting to? It was like, we'll fix it all in post, guys.
It was so funny, though. I laughed. In a corridor, distortion is followed as it bumps into two crewmen, knocking them flat on their back.
Send that one dude. Like,
he flew back. Bro, I was like, damn, he tried to get the Oscar or what? Back in the ready room.
He got the rigging, you know. He got that harness that was going to pull him back.
He went extra, extra. distortion passes through Archer's desk, knocking the cup into the air and leaving the contents hanging there as well, as if there was no gravity. T'Pol calls him to the bridge. There she reports that there are anomalies all over the ship. The warp field is fluctuating, and purple sparks are seen flying from the warp reactor. Basically, everything's breaking.
Yeah.
Tucker is forced to shut down the reactor as main power gives out. Act 1. So it's lovely so far. Malcolm Reed. By the way, my ringtone is now Archer's theme. With the doo 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 doo. Every time someone calls me, I close my eyes and just start feeling it. I'm like, yeah. Malcolm Reed restores emergency power. The primary systems are offline, including weapons, says a concerned Reed. Tucker asks Archer for time to deduce what went wrong. Travis Mayweather detects a ship, but as the transceiver is offline as well, Archer sets a course to intercept it. Unfortunately, their best speed is 1/4 impulse power. It's basically walking. arriving at the vessel, T'Pol discerns there are no biosigns and no gravity. Archer prepares to take a team aboard in EV suits. The Makos, better get Makos, baby, consist of N. Kemper, J. McKenzie, and F. Hawkins.
Oh, when the Makos were together, when they're all in the when they're all in that changing room, and they kind of showed a little heavy on the one chick, I was like, damn, yeah. Like damn.
She's fine too. Like, what's up, baby girl?
I was surprised Malcolm wasn't like, are you getting in the suit okay? Could I help you at all in any way?
Malcolm's all, hey, after this, just in case there's some pathogens, if you need help putting that cream on, you feel me? Just let me know. and as they have only been in simulations of weightlessness, Archer briefs them on what to expect. No, he doesn't. He kind of just asks them.
Yeah, have you been in it before?
and then he gives them a look like, it's going to suck, yeah. You know? He also tells them to set their weapons to stun. He does do that. The shuttle pod docks with the alien vessel. When inside, they find various tools floating around, which is the telltale sign of any science fiction that the gravity is off. Reed detects evidence of weapons fire. One of the Makos opens a door to find a corpse hovering in midair. He got scared. Two little jump scare. Little bitch.
Did you ever see that movie Accepted? With, no. There's Justin Long, and I think it was that dude, oh my god, the one from Superbad, Jonah Hill, and they go into this like abandoned like hospital. They're trying to turn into a college, and then this skeleton falls from the ceiling, and Jonah Hill's just like does this high pitched scream, and everybody goes, Jesus, he goes, Don't tell anybody I scream like that. That's what I kind of expected from one of the Mako guys, like to scream that high pitch.
I'm gonna have to pull that up because I'm gonna have to watch that movie because I don't think I've seen it. Arriving on the bridge, the team finds more bodies drifting silently. Archer asks Reed to download whatever information he can.
They're drifting silently because they're dead.
Right? Should they be like doo 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 doo? You know, come on.
Somebody's going to as they're floating.
Why is this to the Superman pose? By the way, if I was ever on the International Space Station, I'd get kicked off for constantly being in the Superman pose as I floated around.
Can you go down to fix the refuge thing?
It's like, I got it.
Yeah, okay, I got it. like, don't send him.
I'd have it hooked up to a portable speaker on me so everyone else could enjoy it as well. back aboard Enterprise, Archer informs T'Pol that they found 17 bodies. Most were killed when life support ran out, and the others by particle weapons. The only repair that has been made is to the transceiver. Archer tells Mayweather to continue on their previous course. As soon as they said the only thing fixed was the transceiver, I was like, cool, so a trap? Got it.
Right.
T'Pol thinks that Enterprise should stay and try to make more repairs, but Archer comments that the aliens have only been dead for 2 days, and if so, staying there might get them attacked as well. In engineering, Tucker is trying to restart the engines, but to no avail. Archer asks for a report, and Tucker tells him that the Cochrane equation isn't constant, so they can't create a stable warp field. He got real fucking book smart. Every once in a while, Trip got to remind him this motherfucker got engineering degrees. Like, yeah. Fuck off. I'll fix it when I fix it, bro. Like,
it's like, oh, yeah, no, I'll get to that, you know, after the 50 other things that I got to fix before that. You know, no, yeah. But I got it.
Why don't you go get me a cup of coffee and make yourself fucking useful? How about that?
He taps Archer on the chin going, you know, sweetie, can you go get me a cup of coffee while I'm doing man's work over here?
I would love it, dude. He says that he'd probably have to rewrite the book on warp theory, which would take a long time. Yeah, he says, like, where's Isaac Newton when you need him? Right. Stupid shit. Basically, they're trying to tell you these anomalies are like going, they're making physics confusing. He doesn't know what the fuck's going on. Archer tells him to get weapons online. Because that's what Archer always says. He's like, oh, wow, that's a... fix it. Yeah. And then Archer leaves. Which is kind of... that's a Starfleet captain, to be honest. Because Picard used to do that shit, too.
Kirk used to do that. Like, all
damn,
time.
That sounds bad. Picard was even worse. Because Geordi would show up. He's like, how long? He'd be like, Geordi, how long is it going to take to fix the warp core? He's like, it's going to take about 2 days. And he's like, okay, you have 3 hours.
Yeah.
And then just he'd look away. And then you'd see Geordi just standing there by himself, like, fuck. Then he'd fix it in 2.5 hours, though.
And I took a 30-minute break for lunch.
There's a book. It's not canon, but one of the Star Trek books, Geordi is talking about that. And he said, a word of advice in engineering, always overestimate your time.
He got that from Scotty, because Scotty said that in one of those episodes.
Yeah.
Never
that's
tell
true.
Him exactly,
oh, yeah, that's true.
Never tell him exactly how long it takes, because then you don't get the thing of the miracle worker.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. I always used to do that at work. How long is it going to take? About 2 hours. Take that 30 minutes. Fuck out of here, bro. But it would take everyone else 2 hours because everyone else is moron.
It's going to take 2 hours. So I'm going to go to Cheesecake Factory, have some lunch, and then I'll be back, and then I'll fix it.
Yeah, I'll be back. Yeah, that's what IT people do.
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to take all day, and then they play fucking Final Fantasy Online all day and fix it in 15 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
Going back to his ready room, Archer finds his cup still hanging in midair. After ignoring it for a few seconds, he angrily grabs hold of it and slams it onto his desk. Had enough of that shit.
I was like, okay, so we got tense Archer in this one. We got like...
yeah. He's super tense right now. An alien ship approaches... Yeah, it does. An alien ship approaches Enterprise.
Does it?
They charge weapons as Archer orders hull plating to be brought online, but it is still inoperable. He tries the diplomatic solution, hailing them, but gets no response. Suddenly, four aliens beam.
They left him on red.
For real. Suddenly, four aliens beam into engineering. By the way, beaming incredibly quick too. I don't know where they got their fucking tech from, but I don't remember Kirk beaming in that quick.
I remember it kind of reminded me of Discovery. You know, when they went to the future and they were able to beam in really quick.
I'm telling you, man, everybody's part of the Time Lord bullshit that's going on. Purposely said Time Lord. One of the engineering crew is shot while another one runs to safety. They begin stealing antimatter injectors. In a cargo bay, a crewman is hit on the back by another alien who, with his accomplice, places transporter tags onto equipment before they are beamed away. In the armory, there's too much fragmentation going on in the way this person writes. And I don't like it. I just want to point that out. In the armory, three aliens are pinned down by a security team led by Archer. One of them is shot, leaving the remaining two cornered behind an armed warhead. Archer tells a Mako to use a stun grenade, but the intruders beam out with their injured comrade before it explodes. Reed and Archer find more intruders in the cargo bay and engineering. By the way, this is all happening incredibly quickly.
Yeah.
Like, to the point that the crew can't keep up. There's jack and shit. they jack in their shoes. They don't even notice.
I thought it was kind of funny that they had, like, the gun in their belt. You know, like, they're all acting all gangsta, you know, when they're walking in.
Get out of here. He then activates the reactor, using the resulting sparks to pin the rest of the aliens into one corner. As Reed bursts in, the aliens are forced to beam out, leaving one of them behind.
Dude, that Archer, was kinda, I was, that was kind of cool, like with Trip not getting fucked up in this one, as he normally does, where he comes down on the engine and he's just like kind of cruising in there, and then he starts fighting that one dude.
Did something slick. Yeah. I was like, okay, I see you. Were you practicing?
I'm surprised he didn't have a cowboy hat on when he jumped on there.
Yeehaw.
Jumps in there like fucking Walker, Texas Ranger.
Does a couple roundhouse kicks. Archer arrives at the cargo bay to find it completely stripped to the bulkheads. The alien ship then leaves because, you know, it stole all the shit already.
Right.
Act two.
It had no point of sticking around.
Yeah, there's no reason to stay. Dr. Phlox is tending to many injured patients in sick bay who have suffered extensive disruptor burns. Archer walks over to a biobed with a curtain around it. Inside lies the body of Crewman Fuller, who has become the first fatality of the Zindi mission. Didn't we know Crewman Fuller?
I feel like I think we may have heard the name, but I don't think we've actually knew who he was.
Because it just says Crewman Fuller was a member of the crew of the Enterprise during its mission to the Delphic Expanse.
Yeah.
He was considered by Lieutenant Malcolm Reed to be the most knowledgeable in regards to ship's torpedo system. Yeah, I think he just mentioned him earlier in the episode.
Yeah, because he didn't have, because even in the image, they don't have an image. They just have the sheet over his
face. They quickly said something at the beginning of the episode so you'd feel something.
Yeah.
So, okay. And it worked too, because I was like, don't we know him? So he's the first one to die in the Zindi mission. Archer then walks over to another biobed where the injured alien is lying under sedation. Archer orders his movement to the brig where Phlox can treat him. Phlox also says he recognizes the alien species, the Osarians, a species not originally from the expanse. Tucker tells Archer what has been taken. And it's not good. Most notably, all the antimatter storage pods are gone. And if they aren't retrieved within a month, Enterprise will be stranded and unable to move. He actually said out of gas, which I thought was funny.
Which it should have been like, you know, they took it. But we do have a bunch of EPS conduits, since that's always they seem to have, you know, where it's like, well, I could just put together some EPS conduits because why can't
I have
you
this
just
canister of chromometric particles? It should work.
You know what? I don't think it was Osarians, Dr. Phlox. Really? Who was it, Captain? I think it's the Borg. What is your obsession with the Borg?
It's always the Borg. Just talks and tables and shit.
This expanse, it's the Borg, I'm telling you.
This entire expanse, we're inside of a Borg ship. Oh, put this motherfucker in a rubber room. DePaul meets with Archer to discuss the Osarians. Unfortunately,
tell him it's not the Borg.
Right. Calm him down. Unfortunately, the Vulcan High Command has had limited, that's what it says, contact with them. They are a race of merchants and have never been pirates. Archer asked
DePaul. Yeah, the fact that one of them said ARG, I think, was kind of a giveaway.
Archer asked DePaul to keep looking for the Asari ship. And Archer was funny. He's like, we're a race that's never been pirates. They're sure good at it. But DePaul is worried that the Osarians are too well prepared for Enterprise.
When he said that, he's like, yeah, for a group that hasn't been pirates, they're pretty good at it. DePaul would have looked at him like, are you going to be here all week? Should we tip the waitresses while we're here? You know,
she should have just been like, do you think this helps? The attitude? Because it's not fucking helping me. That's kind of the look she had. Like, sometimes she has, when
you're going to be productive, or you're just going to whine like a bitch?
Sometimes when he's having a bit of a fit, you could tell she said, I'm just going to wait until he shuts the fuck up. You know?
She's like, I could say something that will tear him apart right now, but I don't have the time.
Yeah, I don't have, I have other things to do. I have meditation in 15 minutes. I don't have time.
I need to feel up on Tucker, so we got to carry this along.
Archer goes to meet the Osarian prisoner, Orgoth. So he's a dwarf in the fucking mines. He tells Osarian.
At work, we got a bunch of new swords, and we got the one from The Hobbit, the one that...
nice.
Yeah, so we got this one, and I go, does it turn blue?
Bing.
And then they go, and they're like, I don't think so. I go, well, let's wait till Billy gets here. We'll see if it turns blue then. And then Billy comes in and I go, oh, it didn't turn blue. I figured it turned blue when you got here. He goes, go fuck yourself.
Sting. It's a pretty small sword. He tells the Osarian that he's going to help look for their ship. And when the supplies have been returned, he and they will be free to go. Okay.
All the youths will be able to go.
All the youths are going to go. Orgoth thinks that Archer is far too civilized to torture him. And knows that Enterprise is new to the expanse.
Aragorn comes popping in.
Yeah, that's right. He shows Archer his distorted face caused by the anomalies, and tells him that when the Osarians first entered the expanse, they were just trade ships. When hit by distortions, they tried to leave the expanse but couldn't get beyond the thermbriatic clouds. Bitch. One of their ships was destroyed, and now that they know there's a lot of fucking little grammar mistakes in this. I'm sorry. Now they know how to protect their ship from the anomalies using Trillium D. The area of space where they operate has become a hunting ground. By the way, this is like the third time that it's been alluded to Archer that you have to insulate your ship with Trillium D, and he doesn't think, I don't know, he doesn't really react to it. And it's like, okay, bro, third time's a charm, pimp. We need to figure some shit out. He does eventually, by the way, spoilers. As ships that run aground, there are easy targets. What the fuck? This is hurting my feelings. At first, they didn't kill anyone, but that changed, and Orgoth reveals that they kill without remorse. Archer tells him to consider this offer, but if it ends up giving him remorse, it's something he can live with. Basically, he's saying that the Expanse has turned them into a bunch of fucking filthy pirates.
Right.
And Archer ain't about that life. That's basically what he's saying.
Yeah, he's saying he's kind of giving him that, you're too soft right now.
Yeah, to do anything. You a soft bitch. You ain't gonna do nothing to me, so I'm just gonna chill.
I've been serving a dime, motherfucker. You don't even know.
You ain't about this street life, motherfucker.
I was raised in the streets, Archer. You don't even know.
T'Pol tells Archer about the other alien ship they found. It appears they went looking for the Osarians as well, but their life support ran out before they could start. T'Pol also informs Archer that hull plating is back online and phase cannons will be ready within an hour. Archer heads off to the armory to help Reed with the torpedoes because, you know, Fuller's dead.
Right.
Tucker is in the mess hall.
Only one that's good at it would be Archer.
Archer could do everything, bro. Mary Sue. Can you imagine Picard loading a torpedo bay?
I know, right?
But you know what's funny is I guess that kind of makes sense for this show because the ship's kind of small and it's new and all this other shit, you know what I mean? And then by the time TNG happened, it was more of a like, I have people for that, you know?
Yeah, yeah, it's like, you want me?
Although knowing Picard, he probably does know how to load the fucking torpedo bay. Yeah, but he don't need to. It's also, I think they're automatically loaded in the Enterprise D, but whatever.
Momo?
Momo? Stop. They reminisce. Tucker is in the mess hall attempting to rewrite the book on warp theory.
It looked like he was crying in this book.
He looks so stressed out, dude. There he's joined by Reed. They reminisce about Fuller because we just give a fuck about this character we just heard about.
I've only known him for about 30 minutes, so you know, I feel like I lost a brother here.
Right. Tucker doubts that Fuller will be the last one to be killed on the mission. The Osarian's ion trail comes to an abrupt halt, and Enterprise can't find the ship at all.
Well, they left out the fact that Trip even said that he feels every day that this is more of a one-way mission.
Yeah, which was kind of dark and true. T'Pol finds that the trail... He said it, but then he also looked like he was ready for it to be that way. Like, it's whatever. They need to do what they got to do. T'Pol finds that the trail continues a few thousand kilometers away. They must be close by, so Archer orders weapons brought online. As Enterprise approaches the end of the first trail, the ship starts to shake. They then pass through a cloaked barrier and exit to see a huge sphere. It is 19 kilometers in diameter and constructed of a single alloy. Archer orders them in closer. Act 3. They cannot scan the interior, however.
We've changed these acts in honor of Captain Archer, so now they're called Archer 3.
That's right. They cannot scan the interior, however, which is a weird way to start a paragraph. Moving the ship into a lower orbit, T'Pol detects a portal, but it is too small for the actual Enterprise to get into. Archer, Reed, Mayweather, and 3 Makos take a shuttle pod into the sphere. It's nice to see Mayweather doing something.
Yeah.
He never does anything. He does some cool shit. He's just a pilot. You know what I mean? Like, what are you going to do? When inside, Mayweather notes that there is enough energy to power a dozen cities. Reed notices a module with a breathable atmosphere and sets a course. Breaking into it, the team looks around, finding most of their equipment. Mayweather finds a cargo manifest, but it's in Osarian. Archer tells him to send it to Hoshisato because, you know, that's her thing.
Right.
As she works on it, the crew's still on board Enterprise, put their equipment back in place. It was kind of a nice little scene. Like, They're just toiling away, putting the shit away, you know, whistle while you work kind of shit. Tucker goes to sick bay with a wrist injury caused by a detronium injector.
Yeah,
ever.
Detronium.
Who cares? He and Fox discuss the Vulcan neuropressure treatments, but Tucker has only been to see T'Pol once for them. Yeah. Phlox says he understands that it requires a certain level of intimacy, but Tucker wants to switch back to injections. Phlox gives him the third alternative, Albarian mud leeches, which Tucker declines, saying that an hour with T'Pol isn't so bad. I love how he's acting like it's – if I was Phlox, I'd be like, yeah, Pimp, it isn't so bad. Get the fuck out of my face. I wish I couldn't sleep. I'm fucking tripping. The salvage team on the sphere have found around 80% of the antimatter that was stolen. Archer surmises that the rest is running through the reactor of that Osarian ship. Warp drive will be online in 30 minutes. Archer wants the team to speed up so they can go after the Osarians. T'Pol says that the sphere is nearly 1,000 years old. It is run by 7 enormous fusion reactors, of which only 3 are still operational. T'Pol guesses that the gravimetric energy that it produces may have something to do with spatial anomalies. Hoshi calls them to the situation room, where she reveals that the Osarians attacked a Zindi vessel. Archer confronts Orgoth. It's like a Klingon for real. who claims not to know about the Zindi vessel.
I am Goroth. House of Duras. Motherfucker, yeah, I knew
it. Fucking Klingons are everywhere. I'm sick of these bitches.
Yeah, another Duras motherfucker.
However, he gives in, saying that it was a small vessel. When they resisted, their ship was destroyed. Archer entered the brig and, holding a phase pistol to Orgoth's neck, escorted him to the airlock, startling some of the crew members on the way. By the way, they skipped a big part of this where Archer asked for further information. And Orgoth basically was like, fuck off. I'm not going to tell you shit. shoved him into the airlock. Orgoth refused to respond, still thinking Archer is too civilized. But Archer starts to decompress the airlock, saying that if Orgoth doesn't talk, he has less than 40 seconds to live. Reed arrives on the scene, but Archer says that he's got everything under control. Realizing that Archer wasn't bluffing, Orgoth says he'll give Archer the information he needs. As Archer opens the airlock, Orgoth stumbles out, panting heavily. Archer tells Reed to take Orgoth back to the bridge. Yo, Archer's about that life, dude. He was like, I'm sick of fucking playing games with you now.
I know. He's
you
like,
and honestly, they tried to kill you. Like, they didn't give a fuck about you. You know, I get it. You don't want to murder someone in cold blood, and that's not what he was trying to do. But you can hurt a motherfucker to get some information. Come on.
Yeah.
You know, you're not a Jedi.
It was funny because of the fact that he's like, you know, you don't got the balls. And then Archer's like, oh, really?
Okay. It literally was a fuck around and find out situation. Yeah. And he fucked around and he found
out.
You
got these hands, motherfucker.
For real. Reminds me of that scene in Deep Space Nine where Quark was like, humans are civilized until you take away their creature comforts.
That's true.
Which is a very, very factual statement. Everything Quark said was a factual statement. Come on. Smartest person in Deep Space Nine. Okay? Just saying. Archer briefs the senior staff on Orgoth's information. Not only did the Osarians take the fuel and resupply and supplies. Why? What? That doesn't even say resupply. And so now I'm starting to think I'm a dumbass and it's not even the writing. And supplies of a Zindi ship, they downloaded its database, which Archer now wants, of course. Unfortunately, to do so, they would need to be
teraflops of porn on here. Make sure that gets downloaded first.
I need it down directly to my ready room, okay? Unfortunately, to do so, they would need to be within a kilometer of the ship to be able to get it. Dude, this whole – it's in a minute, but it was so tense. Like, this episode's really good. Mayweather says that the ship is probably too far off, but Archer is confident that they'll return. And then the Enterprise will attack.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. Mayweather detects a ship passing through the cloaking field. It's the Osarian. Moving into position, Enterprise opens fire on their ship. After firing a few torpedoes, Archer contacts the Osarians, telling them to stand down. Their response is to fire back. Enterprise pursues them into the cloaking barrier as Hoshi tries to tap into their computer. They weather struggles to keep up with them. The Osarians open fire just as Hoshi finds the Zindi database. She starts the download, losing the forward hull plating and impulse drive. Archer orders them out of the cloaking barrier and back to the sphere.
So as
the
Osarian, Hoshi in this episode is basically a hacker?
Pretty much, yeah.
That would have been funny if she pulled out like one of the, like you used to see in those movies, those rollout keyboards, you know, those like...
Yeah. That'd be awesome.
Suddenly she has a Logitech headset on.
Yeah, she has glasses now all of a sudden, like super serious.
All of a sudden she's playing like that fucking trance music that...
Yeah. There's all kinds of RGB going on, you know.
She's got a Mountain Dew and a bag of Doritos, yes, right next to her.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Code red, of course.
Reed to fire. Archer tells Reed to fire at the portal on the sphere.
And she's just, this is going to sound so racist, but she's dressed like one of those little, you know, the little Asian girls that used to dress up like the animes, you know, with like the little pigtails and all that stuff, you know?
Wow. They call them e-girls now.
Yeah, that's true. She's like an e-girl now. Suddenly she's got
cat ears on and shit.
She's got an OnlyFans logo right behind her.
What the fuck? First of all, those people aren't hackers. They're probably the dumbest people online. hoping to lure them back in. It works. He blew up the fucking door to the sphere. Emerging from the cloaking field, the Osarian ship runs at Enterprise, all weapons firing. Hoshi gets 90% of the database as Enterprise loses hull plating. Archer tells Reed to target the Osarian's engines. He scores a direct hit, disabling them. Archer releases Orgoth to the Osarians, to Orgoth's scorn for being too civilized, and the Enterprise leaves. I'm like, you're welcome too,
bitch. What he forgot to tell him is that he took him to the landing bay and then opened up the door so it flushed and out just everything into space.
Yeah. Bye, bitch. I hope they catch you.
Is this Archer... what you meant by civilized, motherfucker? As Archer... he's flipping him off as he's going out the airlock.
Archer then goes to the command center and looks at the Zindi database looking for answers to unsolved questions.
And then he looked at the camera and goes, next time on Unsolved Mysteries.
I used to watch that show, dude, all the time,
dude,
bro.
I fucking love that show, man.
All right, so some production notes. You understand. We do this every time, okay? This one's some of these in this season were like really fleshed out. They were organized, some aren't. But this one is. So story and script. I've seen that shit.
Glory to you
and your lower back. In the first draft script of this episode, the Osarians were initially to have been Orion pirates. Episode writer Mike Sussman had intended to show how the events in the Expanse could have led some Orions from the pre-Kirk era to turn to piracy.
Which is what happened in Discovery.
That's true. Yeah. The name was changed during rewrites of the episode script. The Orions and their culture were finally explored in season 4, episode Borderland and Bound. Information provided by Mike Sussman. Mike Sussman freely credited many of the ideas to this episode in this episode to the other writers in the Enterprise writing staff. He noted that the concept of the spheres was from Andre Borminus, who had first thought of the idea a year or two prior. He also noted that the memorable scene with Orgoth in the airlock was written by Brandon Braga.
Basically, who hated the episode. Yeah, it's funny because he credited a lot of writers in case they hated it. He could say, "Well, it wasn't just me."
Yeah, you know, real. I didn't do it. Then,
oh, that was Brandon's idea. Oh no, that was Andre's idea. Yeah, so you know,
yeah, I did everything you liked. That's what I wrote.
Yeah, exactly. The opening credits. That was me.
While writing this episode, Mike Sussman placed importance on jeopardizing the Enterprise crew. He commented, "It was really important to kill somebody, okay, and get the ship into really dire circumstances and show the audience that this arc this season is really going to be different." Yeah, and they did that.
Yeah, it was really important to kill somebody. Not that I'm a homicidal maniac. I just felt for the story. It was good.
We actually killed the actor. Yeah. It just was better for the story.
Right. Everybody wanted to be very method in this episode. So
the rifles used by the Osarian pirates were evidently repainted Starfleet phaser rifles from Star Trek First Contact. Ever paramount. Always just cutting corners, bro. The crates full of stem bolts that Reed looked at are the same props that were called warp injector casings in the episode The Seven.
Who's going to notice, right?
Continuity. The Enterprise's brig makes its first appearance in this episode. Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah. Established as one of several upgrades installed during the ship's retrofit in the Expanse. They knew they was about to throw some bitches in jail. This episode was later mirrored in Damage, in which the crew of the Enterprise is forced into piracy. Oh, yeah, I remember that.
I remember that one.
The episode refers to stem bolts, a possible homage to numerous self-sealing stem bolts references made in Star Trek Deep Space Nine. This is probably the throwaway shit. Yeah. Like get the stem bolts off, you know, whatever. O'Brien said it. He's the only one who said it because he's the only one that fixed anything around there.
And it may not have sounded the same because of his accent, you know.
Theme boots. Okay, theme boots. It's not how he talks. He's talking shit. This is the first episode where a crewman dies on board the ship due to hostile action, underscoring for Archer and the audience just how dangerous this indie mission would be. Information provided by Mike Sussman and also just watching the show. Mike Sussman had made this development a personal goal to respond to criticism that the series to that point had been unrealistic by having no casualties. Like the other Star Trek had people dying left and right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they kind of did.
Yeah,
didn't they?
Yeah, I remember being a red shirt in the original series.
Yeah, that's true.
Somebody always died like in every episode.
He noted it was never intentional. It's just that whenever we tried to kill someone, it never quite seemed the right way to do it. So it never happened. Well, that's nice.
It's very homicidal. It's like every time we try to kill somebody.
Dude, sounds like a fucking sociopath, dude.
Every time we tried to kill somebody, it just never felt like the right time. So it never
happened. Today was the right time.
Today, cut walks on the set. Today looks like a good day to die.
Right. This episode mirrors Voyager's The Void and Voyager Concerning Flight. Where Captain Janeway and her crew have their supplies stolen by raiders. They retrieve them later, like Archer's crew do in this episode.
So recycling much?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it seems like no one liked Voyager, but they're constantly recycling their fucking ideas.
Well, nobody really watched this season, so we can redo that episode later so somebody might catch it the next.
You come to find out that no one really realized, but Enterprise is literally a retelling of Voyager. Like, what? Archer was a woman. Like, you're just remembering it wrong.
He was trans.
Right. The number 8675309 appears as an in-joke in the sensor data shown on the view screen while the crew track the ion trail of the Osarian merchant ship. 8675309/Jenny was a popular song performed by Tommy Two Tone during the 1980s and has since made several appearances in popular culture since its release.
8675309.
It's a jam, bro. She's got it. I remember when I hear stories because I was obviously too young. When that song was one of the many reasons why they started coming out with like fake phone numbers and shit.
Oh yeah, because that was a real phone number.
For movies and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, because people were calling Kat. Like, was Jenny there? Only 80s kids, bro. Like, get a hobby, Jesus.
Go outside and walk on the grass.
Don't you work? Like, what the fuck? That's what happens. We don't have the internet. You know, kids nowadays, you're like, oh, that's cool. I'm not dialing that number. Yeah, I don't care.
Exactly. They're going to they're going to that website, you know, who called, and then you type in the number.
Right. I don't want to communicate with anybody. I'm just going to type it in this website and see who it is.
Exactly. I like this episode. It was a cool episode. It kind of showed where Archer's about to go. And some people will complain about, I'm not saying they did, but I'm saying some people will complain that Archer didn't go far enough. But I was like, Archer had to keep his humanity. He's not ready to go there yet. It's too early.
It's like, Archer is a good guy. Like, good people don't just become evil bastards immediately.
Yeah. I would say, like, you know, it would be later in the season, you know, when things start getting dire, that's when you're going to see him start to kind of compromise. It's way too early for that to happen.
I don't know how fucking Steve be multitasking. Like, he was sending me memes and shit while he's talking. How the fuck do you even do that?
Respect
the hose, baby. The next episode is Extinction. So it's Archer Reed and Hoshi are threatened by a virus that mutates them into a primal life form. Very much callback to the TNG episode,
The one that everybody goes,
whatever, the TNG episode? Yeah. I love that episode.
Yeah, a lot of people kind of like, Well, I also consider that the, it could also be a throwback to the one where Janeway and Paris turn into salamanders.
Could be that too. Yeah. I liked the TNG episode. I mean, I watched it when I was a kid, you know, but I've watched it now and I like it because Worf becomes a fucking movie monster, dude.
Yeah.
Because his just in case anyone hasn't seen it, everybody de-evolves. So Data does nothing because he is his form. Something to de-evolve.
Riker turns into a fucking Fred Flintstone dude.
Riker turns into like a Neanderthal looking dude. Picard becomes very paranoid. I mean, he is French. You know? But Worf, being a Klingon, turns into this fucking spiked wildebeest looking motherfucker, and it's terrifying.
He kind of reminded me of the one character from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Rocksteady?
Yeah, Rocksteady with the Juggernaut.
Yeah.
You know, like,
dude, he starts punching the fucking door that's made out of some fucking future space.
Yeah.
Alloy, and this bitch is bending like it's out of aluminum. I was like, oh shit, red motherfucker.
Well, you know, it's the chronometric particles.
Exactly. Yeah. And he had marked like Troy as his mate. Mm. So he was trying to get to her at some points, but she's like a fish. It's a good episode because it's fucking weird. Like, it's just such an acid trip of an episode. But it is that part where Patrick Stewart gets to show off them acting chops because he loses his mind for a little bit.
Yeah, because he starts to de-evolve.
Yeah, he starts getting fucking paranoid and he's like sweating and looking around like, what the fuck? Because he's, you know, a primate. That's what primates do. Anyway.
But that's next week. That's next week.
Next week.
The Away Team.
On Star Trek.
The Next Generation.
Bitches and home.
Or we do like they do on the Boondocks. Big booty bitches, big booty bitches.
Big booty bitches. I love that show. I need to watch the rest of it. I've only seen, I think, the first two seasons.
I love that show. Yeah, I got to watch it too.
Thanks for tuning in. We have ditched the ads. And would like to stay independent, okay? We can only do that with your support. If you would like to donate to make this podcast and all the shows of the Lazy Geeks Network, including the never-ending stream of memes that I'm getting, you can go to thelazygeeks.com and click on the donate button.
For 21 cents a day, you can sponsor a podcast.
It's just you and me all looking fucking gross. In the arms of an angel.
They just show us eating like mac and cheese and top ramen.
But it's that Instamac, bro.
Yeah,
it's poor, but it's still America poor.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like
eating that what is that? That Mother Goose potato chips, you know, like the 9-10 store potato chips, you know.
First of all, this meme you sent is corny as fuck. I'm Riker in this meme. Fuck out of here, bro. Says they're reopening. The reopening of Lego stores was a big event in 2020. Really? Oh yeah, people were lined up for blocks. And Riker's just face palming. That's me. Get out of here, dad joke bullshit.
Yeah, you know, it's like, you know, we have like the Mother Goose chips and like the what is it, the 99 cents or like the Shasta soda or whatever, you know, the, yeah. whatever they it's just all that like poor
some
shit.
Faygo and shit. You know, real fucking hood shit.
Oh my god, eating the enchiladas out of a can, you know.
Oh Jesus Christ, what?
Have you seen those?
No.
Oh yeah, that's a legit thing. Like I'll take a when I go to 99 cent store again, I'll take a picture, but they sell like in these small cans, they sell like enchiladas in these small cans.
Dude, we used to eat so much shit out of cans, bro. We eat like mushrooms out of cans. And I used to tell my grandmother, I'm like, why don't you just buy mushrooms? They're not expensive.
She smacks you, goes, what do you think we ate out of money?
Well, she liked buying things in cans because they lasted for a long time. Yeah. So she would buy shit when it was on sale.
That was like John. John used to do, everything was garlic. Like he basically kept a garlic market like afloat.
I agree with him.
And
garlic's great.
He would go between the already chopped up in a jar garlic or actually buying garlic and then chopping it up. And he would always go back and forth and he would always depend on his mood. Like, I really don't feel like doing that. I'll spend the extra $3 and buy this jar. So then,
you know what's funny though? Garlic's an interesting thing where I watched a video from a chef and he says he uses all three, where it's the minced, not cut up, and the powder, because they all give different flavors.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, so he uses all three. It just depends on what he's doing. Hmm. I just use minced. I just throw it in there.
So if you can't help us out monetarily, that's okay. We can be broke for a little while longer,
I guess. Fuck.
You can share the show with your buddies. You can rate the show on Apple Podcast or Stitcher or wherever, CastBox, wherever that allows you to do that. It helps increase our exposure. And, you know, we're all about exposing ourselves here at the Lazy Geeks. And so, you know, do it. It helps us. Believe me, it does.
Make it right now. You can check out all the other shows available on the Lazy Geeks Network. You can check out our flagship podcast, The Lazy Geeks, where we discuss being a geek in an adulting world, and Steve's new podcast, The Gen Xer Podcast, where he discusses current problems through a Generation X point of view. All are available wherever you got this show.
And if you want to be part of the show, hit us up with comments, questions, or ideas for future episodes. You can catch us on social media, or at least catch me on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, all under @TheLazyGeeks. That's all one word. Or email us, theawayteam@thelazygeeks.com.
I feel like that was a light dig that I'm not on social media.
It's because you're not on social
media. And you're right. I'm not.
Except on Twitter, but in Twitter, you're just kind of lurking in the background.
Even Twitter, I'm not even on that much. But you can get at me. I think it's @SapientTLG, yeah. I think.
Yeah.
I mean, that's my personal one. Say hi. It's fine.
You can also catch me on TikTok. I'm just a lurker. I don't post shit, so, you know.
Yeah. You can catch me on Friendster.
When I send TikTok, you're on TikTok? It's just a lurker account. They're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, like most TikTok accounts.
Right, or lurker accounts.
Yeah.
Gotta watch
just
them. Just watching them e-girls and puppy videos. It's e-girls, puppy videos, or cat videos. That's all that shows up on my feed. And I'm okay with that.
I was telling my friends, I was like, Jesus, you guys sent me one fucking girl video. And then the algorithm goes, you want nothing but girl videos. And then
you go, how did you know?
My friend goes, and that's a problem. And I just go, I don't want to be horny anymore. I just want to be happy. Leave me alone.
Can I be horny and happy?
I don't want to see chicks constantly.
I know that
other thing.
And that's the thing is like, if someone sends you a political video, that's all that shows up in your feed right after that. You're like, oh my God. It's like Facebook, how Facebook used to be. Remember?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what's funny is before like modern times, I didn't know I could be oversaturated with pretty girls.
Yeah.
Like visually. But it's like it gets to the point sometimes, and I always bounce back. I mean, I am a dude. But it gets to the point sometimes where I'm like, ugh, get away doing the same fucking stupid dance. I'm just swiping.
Or it goes the other way where like all I see on my TikTok feed is dog videos, cat videos. And it's just like I keep that. And then sometimes I go, oh, wait, I'm following some e-girl. So I go to like, you know, that favorites tab, yeah. you know, or following tab. And then I'll scroll through that because then I know the algorithm is going to change it up. So then I get kind of that mix again.
But it doesn't bother me as much as some other people because I only get on TikTok when I'm in the bathroom. Really? I'm never on that at any other time.
Yeah,
there's so much better things to do with my life.
I think whenever I go on TikTok, it's usually like, okay, I'm unwinding, I'm going to bed, about to put the phone on the charger, then I'll swipe through TikTok really quick and then put the phone on the charger and go to bed.
Yeah. Like I don't
cuz going to bed horny is always a good idea.
Right, and I'll never open TikTok in public because you never know what's going to show up. You could be watching like a political video or something, and all of a sudden it's a chick falling out of her shirt. You're just like, oh, hey. It's like, a nun standing next to you or something. Yeah. Like, oh, shit.
Or your bosses are around. You're like, oh, you accidentally opened it and you got big booty bitches on there. You're like, oh.
All you could do is own it. Yeah. Like, yeah, what's up? I'm watching it.
You jealous, right? I know you're jealous.
You jealous I ain't watching you? What's up?
Why don't you send me your TikTok over real quick?
That's right.
All right. Well, that is it for us this week. Have a good and safe Thanksgiving weekend. So if you don't go to the stores, go outside. Enjoy the winter air. You know, have a good time. Spend time with family, for crying out loud. Jesus.
Oh.
Yeah. You know, everybody complains about, oh, I need to see my family on Thanksgiving. Spend the whole weekend. Make a weekend of it. Jesus. You know, get some hot cocoa, whatever. And so until next time, I'm Stephen Vargas.
I'm Adam Riley.
Two to beam up.